The public policy editor of The Economist, Anne McElvoy, has already looked at housing policies for us. Tonight's listener who can't do something is Richard Harris. Not that one, and he's heard all the jokes. I asked Richard to tell us what it is that he can't do.
Communicate.
You're doing well so far.
I live in a part of Scotland that seems to have fallen between two stools and several political parties when it comes to actually being provided with effective broadband.
So tell me where you are and what it is you want to do.
We're in Balquhidda, which is a small glen in Loch Lomond and the Trossachs National Park. We have a population of about 250 and, in fact, about 70 or 80 businesses, mine being one of them, ranging from lots of tourist industry, as you'd expect, through to hill farmers, through to marketing companies and a fairly large hotel.
And what is it you do?
I run what we call an innovation incubator. Basically, innovation incubator. We invent high-tech stuff.
Right.
Mainly in broadcast, including for yourselves, mobile and internet, all of which is a little bit of a problem when you can't actually get much of a connection.
Well, what's your connection like?
If I go onto the landline, for myself, I get between 0.5 and 1.5 megabits when it works. Much of the rest of the glen, except for the pieces that are nearest the exchange, which is about 5 miles away, get between 1 megabit and nothing. Some of us have been forced to go on a satellite, but it has its own problems and doesn't really deliver what we need.
What's the problem with the satellite?
The service is very variable in its performance, depending on how many people are using the particular transponder on the satellite. And also, it cuts out whenever it rains or snows.
Well, that one happened.
Isn't exactly unknown around here, exactly.
I appreciate your problem, and you know, you probably should have fantastic broadband, but some people might say, well, we know that broadband's tricky in rural areas. Why not just relocate to a big city?
Well, I've relocated. I used to be based in London. We like living where we are. It's an incredibly vibrant community. And it's a growing community, or at least it would be, if we could do all the things that city dwellers take for granted. One of our spin-off businesses, we had to completely relocate from Scotland to London just in order to make it work, which was a source of great regret to me.
Tell me the efforts you've made to get this change. You said you fell between some political stools.
We've been looking at costing our own schemes, you know, a community effort to provide communications. The big problem we have is the cost of linking back in from a fairly small glen into the main communications networks. Whilst there is potential funding from one of the public bodies, Community Broadband Scotland, to get things set up, they can't, under EU regulations, cover the running costs. So what that means is we could get everything started and 2 years down the line, we're all suddenly find we're paying several thousand pounds a year for a broadband connection.
Stay with us, Richard, because Anne McElvoy from The Economist has been investigating for you. Why is Richard having such trouble, Anne?
Well, I think Richard is falling into that trap between these rather ambitious targets for coverage of fast broadband across the UK. Scotland plans to get 95% of the country connected to high-speed broadband by the end of 2017, which all sounds great, hunky-dory. The problem is then what happens in rural areas or areas where it's less commercially attractive. So you can have an overall target of a very high figure, but you can still have a lot of people like Richard who are simply not living in the right place to benefit from that. And that's really what the parties need to address as we look into the election.
Are any of the parties in Scotland saying they would change the current plan?
Well, the Scottish Conservatives are saying they'd roll it out faster. They want to hit their targets before the end of 2017. It must be said, across the political spectrum, I have heard that before about broadband. The SNP, the Scottish Government, is heavily involved in the current rollout. They have said they want Scotland to be, quote, a world-leading digital nation by 2020. Richard might have a view on that. But a bit like Scottish Labour, they do have this problem of how much pressure that they feel that they can put on the commercial providers, because it's politicians who set the targets and agree the budgets. But in the end, they have to be able to do a deal with the commercial providers or simply spend an awful lot more money. And it is this problem that the fast fibre optics are very expensive, particularly when you have to lay them over a long area or out to rural areas. I should mention the Greens. Their UK-wide position is that they would put more direct pressure on the commercial providers, that they would have to sort of equalise if they were going to roll it out in cities and towns. They'd have to do the same in the countryside. It's a, you know, it's a, an attractive position in some ways, because there is this whole problem of rural versus the cities and towns. But one might say, you and whose army? You know, where is your the power that you're going to bring to the table to actually make that happen?
Richard isn't the only person who's written in. Richard from Altrincham told us his broadband runs at a snail's pace. He's just outside Manchester, the supposed northern powerhouse. It's not just a rural problem, Anne.
Yeah, the northern powerhouse, like many other bits of powerhouse UK, certainly needs to be connected if the whole powerhouse idea is to work out. Well, basically, we're looking at similar targets across the UK, around 90% to be connected pretty soon, actually, but by the end of 2016, and then rising from there. But really, we're seeing the same kind of patchy picture. Now, where you really want to live, if I could encourage Richard to relocate to Bournemouth, which may not have been in his life plan. Now, there you have some places where this sort of super fast rollout is happening very fast, almost comparable with Finland or South Korea, where I was recently, where you just log on and then suddenly you're immediately magically connected to just about everything very fast. But these are small parts of the country. And I think what we're seeing is people not only in rural areas, if we're talking about England, but often some areas where buildings are very high. I know Canterbury city centre also has that problem, that things are running very slowly there. So the parties have really had to try to come up with something that doesn't just sound like it's addressing the rural-urban divide.
So across the UK, is there any deviation between what the parties are promising on this?
Yes, of course there is. If you take a bunch of parties, they will deviate. Whether it comes to much of a different conclusion, well, you can judge for yourselves. The Labour Party says that the rollout has been too slow, but they haven't set an earlier target. The Liberal Democrats would link this to a wider capital investment plan. But interestingly, they too are sticking to the current timetable. And I think there's a reason for this caution, Eddie, which is in 2010, a number of parties, Lib Dems included, said that they would equalise how fast things went in rural and more difficult areas to reach. That proved to be very difficult in practice. The costs were higher than they had worked out. They don't want to be caught like that again, with lots of your listeners phoning in saying, you said, and you haven't done it. UKIP also interested in the rural-urban divide. They say rural people are second-class citizens and the government should be more ambitious. You may notice that that's a little bit of a vague target there. Now, the Greens might be the answer to Richard's point, because they do want to have that obligation on telecoms providers to provide high-speed broadband capable infrastructure all across the country if they were able to pull that off. And in Wales, interestingly, to Plaid Cymru, they want 100% covered by fast broadband, and they know that a lot of people are accessing it through 3G and 4G in remote spots. So that sort of thing might help Richard, assuming, of course, that they could pull off the deal.
All right, Richard, you've told us what you can't do. Anne has told you what the parties say they would do. What are your thoughts?
Well, all of the parties, as far as I can see, share a pretty common commitment. It's not the political will that's lacking, it's the execution. And the big block that we have, certainly in our area, is that you have a single private monopoly providing all the backbone, British Telecom. There is a supplementary, also public-funded project called Community Broadband Scotland, which seeks to help fill in the gaps, to cut a very long story short. Now, the issue is that BT are only being required to apply their normal commercial criteria to evaluate the areas to put their infrastructure into, despite being given more than £100 million of public money. So therefore, if, for instance, in our situation, if we just had a cabinet in the village, even if they did nothing else, we could link into that and have a community network at vastly lower cost than would otherwise be the case. But because they're not required to even consider the existence of the other also publicly funded project, nothing actually happens. So the biggest blocker to this, and I think to economic development in the rural UK, is British Telecom.
It sounds, Richard, short of a applied government in Scotland, which you might have to wait even longer than BT for. I mean, will you cast your vote on the basis of the party promises on communications?
I would consider it, but I'm not actually seeing a huge differential in their positions. The problem is the execution of that political will, and that seems to be independent of whichever party happens to be in power.
That's Richard Harris. BT told us its commercial rollout already covers more than 1.4 million Scottish premises and that it's spending £126 million to reach areas that didn't meet the criteria for commercial investment. BT says for people like Richard in Balquhidder, Community Broadband Scotland is working with communities in the hardest to reach places to find alternative solutions to increase broadband speeds. Getting emails from lots of other people and businesses struggling with their broadband speed. Our email address, pm@bbc.co.uk.